Sermon 19. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and see. It may seem strange that when so great things are allowed, and so small things are denied, that we do not seek them. The kingdom of God and His righteousness are great things indeed, great not only in themselves, but greater in comparison of us. The things of this world, even great events, are but poor, petty, and inconsiderable matters, when compared with these. Yet He graciously allows a larger measure of these great things relating to His kingdom and righteousness, than of those lesser things He hath promised to give His people, and He commands us to seek after these greatest things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This indeed is most suitable to His Majesty, and to us also. It is most becoming His loyal Majesty, when He is to declare His magnificence, and to vent His love, to give such high and eminent expressions of it. A kingdom is a fit expression of a king's love and goodwill. Kings cannot give empires, unless they unking themselves. But Christ is the King of kings, and hath prepared a kingdom for them that love Him. It is a glorious declaration of God's excellent name, that He is good to all, kind even to the evil and unthankful. His tender mercies are over all His works. The whole earth is full of His riches, and the wretched posterity of Adam have the largest share of His goodness, even since the first defection from Him. Nay, but there are other things prepared and laid up for them that seek Him. Oh, how great is that goodness! How excellent is that loving kindness! Psalm 31:19 and 20, Psalm 36:5 and 10. These things have not yet entered into the heart of men to consider. If ye could speak the mind of it, then the tongue could express it. If ye could apprehend the wonders of it, then the heart could conceive it, but this the scripture denies, Isaiah 64:4. For, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him, or, as Paul writes, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, who searcheth all things, even the deep things of God, and see, 1 Corinthians 2:7-14. Is not a kingdom a gift suitable to such a giver? And is not this kingdom of God every way like Himself? These things are prepared by Christ, and there is no more to do, but to give to him that asks, and he that seeks shall find. This righteousness, divine and human, is it not wholly of God's finding out? Is it so glorious, so excellent, as to hide the greatest spots of the creation from his spotless eyes? For even hell itself is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering, even the heavens are not pure in his sight. He chargeth his angels with folly, Job 26:6 and chapter 4 verses 17, 18 and 19, chapter 15 verses 14 to 17. When all the creatures could not procure the salvation of sinful men, when the depth said, it is not in me, and the sea said, it is not with me, and the heavens and heights said so too, even angels could not redeem us, the redemption of the soul was so precious. It would have ceased forever, if divine wisdom had not found it out, and almighty power brought it to pass. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea thy law is within my heart, Psalm 46:7 and 8, Hebrews 10:5-11. All this was with God, and he knew the way thereof. Christ framed this royal robe of his righteousness, by suffering and death, which may cover all our nakedness. He came and sought the human nature with all its infirmities. He became in all things like unto us, sin only excepted. On him God laid our iniquities. For he himself bare our sins in his own body, when he was slain upon the cross or tree, that we, being dead unto sin, might live unto righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Behold what a wonder! Iniquities, and our iniquities, laid upon the Immaculate Lamb, Jesus Christ. Our Redeemer hid his divinity, his holiness, and his innocence, as with a veil and covering from the eyes of God's awful justice. He smites the shepherd, his beloved son, as he did the rebel creature. It pleased the Father to bruise him and put him to grief, when his soul was made an offering for sin, Isaiah 53:4-11, Zechariah 13:7. Justice did not look through the covering to his innocence, but reckoned and numbered him among transgressors, when he bore the punishment of our sins, and made an atonement for them, Isaiah 53:11-12, Galatians 3:13-14. Now hence it is that the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he learned in the days of his flesh, and purchased by his death, is prepared for us, to put on. Whosoever will, let him come and take it. Empty yourselves, stripped naked of all kind of coverings but sin and unworthiness, that which God's holy eye cannot behold, and seek Christ's righteousness to adorn and cover you. Behold, it shall hide all your sins and abominations, of whatsoever nature and degree, from the pure and unspotted eyes of God's justice, which are as a flaming fire, to consume what it cannot look upon without abhorrence. Put on this righteousness of God, and justice shall not draw by the covering, to look under it. It shall look upon the sinner as a righteous man, on the slave of Satan as a child of God, on the heir of hell as the heir of heaven, if he sincerely repent of, and forsake his sins, believe in Christ and obey his gospel. Behold, all things are new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled the world unto himself by Jesus Christ, and see, 2 Corinthians 5:17-19, Colossians 1:19-24. Christ was no worse dealt with, for our sins, than we shall be well dealt with, for his righteousness. This is the gift of God. And is it not worthy to be sought? Is it not a gift worthy of him to give? Is it not also suitable for us to ask? If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water, and see. John 4:10-15. So say I to you, if ye knew the gift of God, what this kingdom is, what this righteousness is, and who is appointed by God to be the treasure house of all fullness, to be communicated to us, ye would certainly ask of him the water of life. Ye would surely seek this kingdom of God and his righteousness. He doth not value other things. God only hath these things offered in the gospel, in choice of many, therefore are they laid up for some few, whom he makes his peculiar treasure and jewels, Malachi 3:17, Exodus 19:5-6. If ye knew a monarch that was a possessor of all this habitable world, and was about to express his singular affection towards some persons, if his kingdom or the half or whole of it was not sufficient to be a token of it, but he had found out some other thing, and laid it up for them, and distributed the kingdom, the lands and cities among others, certainly ye would think that behoved to be some strange thing of great price. If the Lord was pleased to give you abundance of all things here, make you all great, rich, and honorable persons, then many would seek no other expression of his love. They would think he did well enough to them. But alas! What is it all? He esteems it so little that he often casts it to swine, the profane and wicked world. He fills their belly with his hid treasure, Psalm 17:14. He makes his sun to shine, and his reign to fall on the evil and the good, Matthew 5:45. It is a demonstration that it is but a base thing, when it is so common, I mean, in comparison of the portion of his saints. For, though these worldly things are good in themselves, yet they are not precious, they are not pearls. Would he cast pearls before dogs and swine? The honorable man's brutishness and ignorance of God may demonstrate to you he cares not for it. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and sometimes setteth up over it the basest of men, Daniel 4:13-18. If God loved riches well, do ye think he would give them so liberally, and heap them up upon some base covetous wretches? Surely no. But here is the precious thing that is laid up and treasured. The world and its gain seems great, and big in your eyes, ye cannot imagine more, nor wish for more. But alas! How low and base spirits have ye! It is, but as the dunghill that the swine feed on, or the husks which the prodigal desired to feed his belly with, when he began to be in want, Luke 15:13-17. So are all men's worldly pleasures, preferments, and profits. But here are some particular things that only deserve to be called good, namely, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when God had searched the whole world, to speak with reverence of his glorious majesty, who needs not inquire into secret things, when he had looked through all the works of his hand, he sets these apart from all the rest, to be given to the men whom the king shall honor. This kingdom is the substance and accomplishment of heaven's eternal counsel and purpose of grace, which was given in Christ before the world, and it is the end of the Son's redemption of a sinful world, and his intercession for them at God's right hand. Father, says he, John 17:24, I will, that those whom thou hast given me, be with me, where I am, that they may behold the glory which thou hast given me, and for other things he makes them as the stones of the field. Now I say, as this kingdom of God and his righteousness are suitable expressions of his love, according to his magnificence, so they are also suited to our condition and necessities. No question but he would permit us to seek great things in this world, if these things were really great and good, and if they did become such great immortal spirits, as we have. Your souls are above all these things. But this kingdom, and this only, is above the soul. Now then, if ye go out to seek these earthly things, ye must go down from the throne of eminency that God hath set your souls upon by creation, and abuse your spirits by stooping to the very dust of your feet, to embrace these things, and, which is worse, ye put yourselves out of that high throne of dignity that ye are exalted to by Christ's redemption, which we may call a second creation. Jesus declared by the infinite ransom he gave, when he offered himself a sacrifice without spot to God, Hebrews 9:14, and laid down his life for us, what the worth of your souls was. None of them, saith the psalmist, can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, Psalm 49 6-10. Call and assemble all the creatures in heaven and earth, summon gold, silver, precious stones, houses, cities, kingdoms, places of trust and dignity, great learning and parts, and every other thing ye can imagine, let them all convene in a parliament, and consult, how men shall be ransomed. All of them combined together, though they make one purse, cannot do it. They cannot pay the least farthing. The Lord Jesus Christ then stepped in here, Lo, I come, I give the body thou gave me, my life for theirs, I delight to do thy will, thy law is in my heart. Are your souls then exalted to such great dignity? Is such a price set upon them, and will ye spend them, for that which could not pay the price for them, for that which profiteth not. Ye must go out of yourselves to seek happiness. Then I pray you, go not downward. It is not there, but misery is there. And by going down to the creatures, ye have found it, and cannot lose it to this day. But the kingdom of God is the only thing above. Go up to it. Seek these things that are above, Colossians 3:1-4. If then ye be risen with Christ, through the faith of God's operation, set your affection on things above, where Christ sitteth at God's right hand, and not on things on the earth. These things are but great in your apprehension. If they are at all great indeed, it is only in evil. If then ye seek great things for yourselves, ye may find evil things, ye shall certainly find such evil things, as shall drown you in everlasting destruction. They that will be rich in worldly things, who lay up treasures for themselves, and are not rich towards God, fall into temptation, and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, 1 Timothy 6:9-10. Great things in this world are not always good. To seek them, makes them certainly evil and hurtful. It is not so hurtful to have them, though very dangerous, but it is hurtful, yea, present ruin to seek them. But here is a kingdom that is great, and great in goodness, every way answerable to our necessities. This is the kingdom we should seek above all things. We would therefore beseech you to be wanters in yourselves, and seekers in Christ, and seekers ye cannot be till ye be wanters, and finders ye cannot be, except ye seek in Jesus all satisfaction and remedy of your necessity. This is even the very nature of a Christian, his chief exercise and employment. What then is a Christian's principal study, his great business, his important calling, and what is his success in it? He is a seeker by his employment, or calling here, and he shall certainly find what he asks. But what puts him to seeking? The discovery of his own emptiness, and God's fullness. Therefore study these things most, if ye would be Christians in truth and in deed. It is these two that ye must still pass between. If ye keep them not both in your view at once, ye cannot well perceive any of them, either comfortably, humbly, or profitably. This is even the sum of Christianity. Look what ye want in yourselves, and make up that in God. Discover your own emptiness and fill it up with God's fullness. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself, Proverbs 11:25. Be not niggards here. Be liberally minded, both in seeking and receiving, so shall ye please him best who counts it his glory to give. Be instruments of the churl or evil, but the liberal giveth of liberal things, and by liberal things he shall stand, Isaiah 10:10-11:7-8. Seek answerable to your own necessity, and God's all-sufficiency, and know no other rule or measure. Now, Christians, this is your calling and employment here, to be seekers of God's kingdom and righteousness. But shall we come speed? Yes, certainly. It is so far put out of question here, that it needs not be expressed. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be superadded to you. He thinks it needless to say, and ye shall find the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, for it is supposed as a thing unquestionable, and he adds these words, and all these things shall be added to you, to answer the faithlessness of these who could not credit him in temporal things, though they had concredited to him their immortal souls. Ye do not doubt, then, but ye shall have the kingdom of heaven. Ye do indeed seek it. Many by seeking kingdoms lose here by seeking to make them more sure, they lose the hold they have. Many by aspiring to greater things, lose these things they have, and themselves too. But here is the man that is only sure of success, the man that may reckon upon his advantage, before he take pains, if indeed he resolves to take pains for it. This one thing is made sure, eternal life, if you lay hold on it here by faith, and quit your hold of present things that end in death, Romans 6:21. We may well submit to the uncertainty of all other things, as David, who held himself well satisfied with the everlasting covenant God had made with him, which was well ordered in all things and sure, 2 Samuel 23:5. Though the kingdom and house go, it matters not, if he keep this fast. If he take not away his loving kindness, this is all my comfort, my joy, and my desire. Comfort yourselves with this, amidst the manifold calamities and revolutions of times. Ye see, no man can promise himself immunity, or freedom from common judgments. Here ye have no continuing city. Why then do ye not seek one to come, and comfort yourselves in the hope of it? Your rights and heritable securities will not secure your lands and riches for any considerable time. Therefore seek an eternal and sure inheritance, sure mercies. Seek that which ye cannot miss, and having found, cannot lose. Nothing here can you expect either to find, or keep, until ye have found it. But besides all this, there is an accession to the inheritance. All needful things shall be added, ye shall want no good thing, Psalm 84:11. Will not all this double gain and advantage recompense, yea, overcome all the labors of seeking? Shall it not drive away the remembrance of them? Here then is the most compendious and comprehensive way to have your desires in this life granted, to get your necessities supplied. Seek first the kingdom of God and ye shall have them. But if ye seek these things and not heaven, ye shall want this kingdom. I think then it is all the folly and madness in the world, not to take this way, for it is the way to be blessed here and hereafter. And if we choose any other way, it brings no satisfaction here, and it brings eternal misery hereafter. If ye would be well in this world, seek heaven. Do not think that ye should have heaven, or seek God's kingdom from this sordid principle, that ye shall have all worldly things given you, which God pleaseth to bestow. For, now man can't seek the kingdom of heaven aright, but he that seeks it for itself. Yet, if they were no more to proclaim the madness of men, this would sufficiently suffice. All they can desire or expect is promised with the kingdom, and yet they will not seek it. Sermon 20, 1 Peter 4 7 But the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. If ye would ask what ye should do till Christ come again, or what should be your exercise and employment in this old age of the world, here ye have it in a word, be sober, and watch unto prayer. When Christ was to go away to his Father, and leave his disciples in this world, as he left them not orphans, or comfortless, without the Comforter, so neither left he them without counsel and direction. The word he left to them was, take heed, watch and pray, Mark 13:33. In this chapter, Peter is mindful of his Lord's directions, as Paul also was, 1 Thessalonians 5:6. The substance of this chapter is to exhort Christians to a holy conversation, suitable to their high calling.
He presses mortification in general, from that which should be of greatest force with a believer's heart, the strongest and most convincing reason in the world, union with Christ crucified, even, as Paul does, Romans 6, and then, in the third and fourth verses, he argues from their former conversation, ye have sinned enough already, all the rest of your time is over little to consecrate to God, According then, as ye have advanced Satan's kingdom, while under it, so advance Christ's kingdom, when it comes to you, and take that noble revenge upon yourselves. And since, so as to bring them both captive to the obedience of Christ. And although the world may think it strange ye walk not with them, yet so much the rather ought ye to aspire after a disconformity to the world. Be then ambitious of being singular in the world. Ye would lay down such a conclusion as this: I am a stranger, and will walk as a stranger. And ye need not think yourselves miserable to be out of so much company, and to be alone. No, if ye knew what was to come upon them, ye would get you out from among them, lest ye be partakers of their plagues. The day of the Lord is coming, and the world must give an account to the judge of all flesh. Ye may endure their mockings, and all the hard measure which ye get heard, for it shall be recompensed unto them. And your lot is the same that other saints had, who now sleep in the Lord. The gospel was preached unto them, and they had the same fruit of it before God, and got everlasting life by it, yet they were judged in the world as well as you, and were counted base and contemptible. Now, in this verse, he comes to particular exhortations from the former reasons. This text hath two parts. One, an exhortation to some special duties, which are so conjoined in this form of speech that they seem all but one duty. Prayer is the duty, and sobriety and watchfulness are means to it. Two, there is a reason given, because the end of all things is at hand. So, then, ye have here the posture the world is in, and the posture a Christian should be in. This is the world's old age. It is declining, albeit it seem a fair and beautiful thing in the eyes of them who know no better, and unto them who are of yesterday, and know nothing. It looks as if it had been created yesterday, yet the truth is, and a believer knows, it is near the grave. Gray hairs are here and there upon it, though many know it not, and Jesus the Lord is at hand to put an end to it. Now, what should be your condition in the meantime? What should immortal souls do, that are to remain forever, and outlive this habitable world? How should they be employed? The spirit and soul is to endure longer than the man's possessions, goods, honor, and place. How, then, should ye look upon these things? Here it is. Be sober in the use of all things. Use the world, as if ye used it not, watch unto prayer. Ye are encompassed about with manifold temptations. Therefore watch, and be as men on their way waiting for the bridegroom. The bride's exercise, since Christ hath ascended unto heaven, should be to say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In discoursing upon this subject, one, we shall speak of these three parts of a Christian's duty severally. To consider how they help one another, and so jointly speak of them. And then, three, of the reason and motive to them all, and how it enforces such an exercise. As to be the first of these, we observe that sobriety is a duty becoming every Christian that is united unto Jesus Christ, and is separated by God's holy calling from the rest of the world. I add these two considerations because of the preceding verse. For in the first and second verses he lays down an excellent ground of all kind of mortification, namely the believer's union with Christ crucified. Jesus Christ suffered and died for us, as a common person, to sustain the guilt of our sins. He died as a cautioner and undertaker for us and as our head and king, and we, by virtue of that, are obliged to crucify sin also. In verses 3 and 4, the other consideration is set down. There ought to be a vast difference between a believer now and before his conversion. He should not be the same man, but as Paul, say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I,
but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. He should be separated from the world, that all the world may wonder at him, and think it strange to see his conversation. Now I conceive this exhortation is gathered from both these, and the word of reference therefore relates to the preceding verse, as well as his reason in the words now read. Now therefore be sober. This sobriety is not limited to meat, drink or apparel, the object of it is more comprehensive in Scripture. It uses sometimes to be expressed singly, without making mention of any particular matter, evidently importing that sobriety ought to be in all things. That which we ought to be sober in is certainly the all things spoken of in the reason of sobriety, whose end is at hand. They are most distinctly expressed 1 John 2:15-17, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, all that perishes is not of the Father, but of the world, that is, the world which wicked men frame to themselves. Here then is a large commentary on all things. Therefore whatever is in the world is the matter of sobriety. Whatever comes under the senses calls for sobriety. Whatever comes under the object of the mind is the matter of sobriety. Nay, whatever is corruptible and perishing, or whatever the last day of the Lord a-coming shall put an end to, in all these, there must be sobriety exercised. There is a threefold sobriety: 1. Sobriety in the mind, or sober-mindedness, Romans 12:3. We ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly, 1 Corinthians 4:6 and 7. Titus 2:6, Romans 11:20, 1 Corinthians 7:2. Sobriety of mind is that excellent lesson that Christ Jesus both taught and practiced in his humble state. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, Matthew 11:29. Humility is not like Peter, who said, "Depart from me, for I am sinful man, O Lord, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet." But humility is rather like Mary, that sat down at Christ's feet, and washed them with tears. Sobriety of mind does not undervalue God's gifts and graces, neither doth it overvalue them. It thinks of itself according to the measure of grace freely given, Romans 12:3, and sobriety looks on all its own gifts, and ornaments, as not its own but another's, as free gifts. And therefore it puffs not up a man against his neighbor, though he should see a gift given beyond his neighbor. High-mindedness is like the high bending of a string of an instrument, which easily breaks into pieces. Sobriety walks with a low sail, and creeps through under the wind, but the high mind is like the cedar, that moves with the wind, and falls when the bowing twig stands still. Some will think the aspiring of the spirit a sign of a better spirit than the humble mind, and so look down upon others. But oh, if they walk safely, they will walk humbly with God.